The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Sun is shining, another beautiful day here in Auburn, Alabama. Hope you're doing well. It's a perfect day for baseball. We got all sorts of it around town today. You've got Auburn baseball, who will be on the road. They'll be taking on Troy in a neutral site game. They'll be playing in the home of the Trash Pandas there at Toyota Field, so that'll be going on tonight. You can catch that broadcast over on Wings 94.3. We also have Lee Scott baseball again tonight. A good friend of mine, my color commentator, Christian Griffin, was on the call yesterday when Lee Scott went on the road, fell to the Gators in Phoenix City, but a doubleheader coming up this afternoon over at Judd Scott Field for Lee Scott, so excited to make my way over there after the show today. Lots to get to on the show. Lots of basketball to keep talking about. Spring practice is back in session for Auburn football, and Daryl Dappert's Double D will join us in hour number two. But phone lines are open the entire first hour. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about today on this Tuesday afternoon? 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. 334-321-1390. And, you know, it is champ week, right? It's conference championship week around the major college basketball conferences. You've got had some semifinal games last night, couple of championship games last night, couple of championship games coming up tonight. You've got the West Coast Conference between Gonzaga and St. Mary's in the finals once again, because that's pretty much all it ever is in that conference. So that's coming up tonight. You have other games going on right now. We finally entered the day where you have games happening in the middle of the day. You've got Notre Dame on top of Georgia Tech right now in the first round of the ACC tournament. The Big 12 tournament gets going today. The A-10 tournament is underway. They're getting going to in the first round today as well. So look, there's games all day, all night long. And there's already been games that got played. Fordham beat Davidson in overtime in the A-10 first round. And UCF beat Oklahoma State in the first round of the Phillips 66 Big 12 tournament. That's pretty bad when they're starting to sponsor tournaments for college basketball. But look, it's a fun time. We know the SEC tournament gets underway tomorrow. And I know it's tomorrow night, but I think it would be fun if we began to look at the bracket and fill out my bracket. I think that would be a lot of fun for maybe some of these other conferences too. And I open this up to you. Is there a team that can make a legitimate run? And I think me and Uncle T-Bone talked about this yesterday, but I mean, is there a team outside the top four that can make a run? We asked Jacob Hillman of that. Do you trust a team like South Carolina? Do you believe in a team like Florida, even though they got beat by Vanderbilt in the season finale? Do you think a team like Arkansas, with all the talent that they have, they haven't been able to close out big wins, but could they start doing that this week in Nashville? I don't know. I think it's up for debate. It's up to be determined. That's the great thing about Champ Week. As much as I talk about it, that I don't like the stakes that are put on Champ Week, right, with conference champions in the tournament getting the automatic bid versus the regular season conference champ. You know my feelings on that. But it does add that extra level of excitement, right? It adds that extra, you get the whole Champ Week thing, everybody making runs and all the buzzer beaters. It's just an extra week and a half of March Madness. That's what it is. That's why they call it March Madness. They don't call it two-week madness. It's the whole month, because that's what it is. So I get all of that. But again, it rubs me the wrong way because you have teams that have been the best for months and months and months, and you play one bad game, or sometimes you don't even play a bad game, you just got beat on a crazy shot, and some teams miss out on the NCAA tournament. You look at a team like Indiana State, who was the best team in their conference by far, who was a top 25 team for a handful of weeks this year, and now because they got beat in the last seconds of their game in their conference tournament, now they're questioning whether they're going to make the NCAA tournament. That doesn't sit right with me. I don't know. But it also, you can loop that into the conversation that's being had already on the football side of things of, well, our conference tournament games or conference championship games, are they even relevant anymore? Are they going to happen anymore? And I think we're going to get to a point where they don't. And then, you know, some people agree with that and some people don't. Some people are like, well, I love conference championship games. I love watching, you know, the Big 12 game at noon and then the SEC that afternoon and the Big 10 game that night and the Pac-12 play that Friday night. Like, yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I love watching those games in December, but they're becoming irrelevant and they're becoming more of a harm than they are a benefit. And I fear that we're getting into that territory when it comes to conference championship tournaments in college basketball. But they're still a lot of fun. And while they're here, we're going to enjoy them. And I think the SEC tournament is going to be a lot of fun because there is so much parity. I put the Big 12 and the SEC right up there as 1 and 2. And the Big 12, I couldn't tell you who's going to win that one. I have no idea. I have no idea because it could be half the teams in that conference that could go on and win the Big 12 tournament. I'm pulling their bracket up right now as I talk to you. Again, it's sponsored by Phillips 66, so that's exciting. That's attractive. You had UCF beat Oklahoma State. You've got Cincinnati, West Virginia coming up. Then, coming up tomorrow, you have that really, really good BYU team. You've got TCU and Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma can make a run. You have Texas and Kansas State. Kansas State fighting for their tournament lives. Texas right there with them. You have Kansas, who we all know Kansas, but they have not been playing their best basketball as of late. And then your top four seeds. You have Texas Tech at 4, Baylor at 3, Iowa State at 2, who has secretly been a top 10 team all season long, and Houston as the number one team in the Big 12 and the number one team in the country. I see 8 or 9 teams that could go and win it all in the Big 12 tournament. I think all four of the top seeds could do it. I think BYU as the 5 seed could do it. Kansas as the 6 seed could obviously do it. I think Texas or Kansas State can make a run. And either probably Oklahoma more than TCU. So there's 8 or 9 teams right there in the Big 12 that I think could go and win the conference tournament. Do we feel that same way about the SEC? Maybe not as many. But you look at bracketology and the Big 12's had the most teams in it all season long. They're flirting with double digits. The SEC was there at one point, but I think head-to-head right now, the Big 12 would probably beat the SEC in more games. But that's my opinion. That's where I stand on that. SEC-wise, it's scary to think that Arkansas could make a run. I don't think they're good enough as a team to win it. I just don't. They've proven they can hang with the big boys. They can hang with the Bamas. And they've hung with Kentucky. But they can't win those games. And in those games, they dropped 100 points. And they still couldn't win. That's when you know that you are just you're out of luck as a team. When you drop 102 on the road at Kentucky and you don't get the win and you score 88 points at Alabama, you were winning the whole time and you couldn't get it done. So Arkansas, probably the biggest disappointment of this season. Can we all agree on that? That Arkansas is the biggest disappointment of the year by far. You've got South Carolina, who I don't know. I don't believe in. I don't trust. I haven't trusted them all year. They're playing better now, but I don't trust them outside the top four. I think any of the top four can obviously win it. Kentucky, Auburn, Bama, Tennessee. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Those teams can easily win the SEC tournament. But it's got to be Florida, right? It's got to be Florida that has the better chance to make a run and win this thing outside the top four. That'd be my pick. And I don't care that they lost to Vanderbilt. I think that is I'm not going to say fully irrelevant, but it's borderline. It is. I really just don't think it's all that much of a big deal. The road loss to South Carolina is fine. Losing at Vanderbilt 79-78 is not pretty by any means, but I don't think it's all that. I'm not worried about it. I still don't want to play that Florida team, and I don't think there's many teams that do. Not in the SEC tournament, and not in the NCAA tournament either, because they're that good. They can shoot, they can score, and they can play defense. And teams don't match up really well against them because they match up really well with other teams, if that makes any sense. Florida has a match for anything, for anybody. And not everybody can do that. That's why they beat Auburn. They were able to match up with Auburn really well. Now, Auburn didn't play good, but that's here nor there. Florida took advantage and they got it done. And when you look at the SEC tournament, there's some really intriguing possible matchups over the next few days when it comes to who could be possibly playing each other in this bracket. You have Vanderbilt, Arkansas starting it off. The winner of that goes and plays that South Carolina team who, again, I think Arkansas could beat that South Carolina team. You have Missouri, Georgia. Not overly excited about that one. I don't think many people are. They play the winner, or the winner of that would go on to play Florida. All right, but now you have Mississippi State and LSU in that Thursday game to start everything off. And Uncle T-Bone said this yesterday. That's a Mississippi State team that's fighting for their lives right now. They're fighting. They have to get some wins. Lenardi says they win, they're in. According to him and ESPN against LSU. LSU's not making the tournament. They're not making it. But yet, they've got a chance to force a team out of it. That's pretty strong stuff. You have South Carolina, again, who will be playing Vanderbilt at Arkansas. Winner of those three is who Auburn awaits on Friday afternoon. Ole Miss, Texas A&M is the best game there is through the first 2 days. I believe that. That is such an exciting matchup because they just played. They just played a few days ago, and Texas A&M went and wiped the floor with them on their own court in Oxford. And again, that's a Texas A&M team that once again, here we are, middle of March, is fighting for their lives. They're doing everything they can to get to the NCAA tournament. They've made runs before, and there's a chance that they could do it again. Winner of that game moves on to play Kentucky. Florida awaits Missouri, Georgia. Winner of that goes on to play Alabama. And imagine what the Alabama-Kentucky game would look like in the semifinals on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. That place would be rocking. It would be insane. I think if you have the top four teams all make it to the semifinals, I think you're talking about a very serious atmosphere for both games. We've seen Auburn-Tennessee play in the SEC tournament before. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And I think Alabama-Kentucky would be really exciting as well. We know Big Blue Nation travels just about better than anybody. And I think Alabama fans would make the quick trip from Tuscaloosa to Nashville. They should. And here's what everybody's waiting on. There's a chance for another Auburn-Kentucky rematch that I think Auburn fans are much, much looking forward to getting if they have that opportunity. Because I think many of you believe that Auburn can beat that Kentucky team on neutral floor, and I'm with you. There's a chance you get Auburn and Alabama, who have split their season series. And again, I think many of you believe that if Auburn and Alabama meet up on neutral floor, that Auburn wins that game. Auburn's the better team. There's no doubt in my mind that Auburn's the better team. But you also have the possibility of another Alabama-Tennessee. If you remember, Tennessee smacked the Alabama team earlier in the year. You have a chance for Tennessee-Kentucky again, which was a really good game this past Saturday. So the combination of games and the chances of all these different matchups, they're so intriguing to me. And it's Champ Week. We got to enjoy it. We got to embrace it. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year because there's so many games, so much is on the line, teams trying to get to the tournament for the first time, teams trying to overcome regular season losses, get those last-second resume-building wins, those quad one wins, right? And I posed this question late in the show yesterday about who does Auburn Who do you want to play if you're an Auburn fan? What's the path that you want? Do you want the easiest path? Do you want another shot at Tennessee? Do you want to play Alabama again? Do you want to play Kentucky again to overcome it? Who do you want? Do you want the resume builders or do you want the easier way to a championship? I'm curious. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong answer here. I'm just curious. 334-321-1390. Give me an answer on that. We'll keep talking basketball, plus spring practice is back in session for Auburn football. We'll have that here all coming up in hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, it is the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Give me a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We were talking here in the studio during the break, and I know a lot of people have mentioned this. When you are looking at the SEC tournament bracket and you look at Auburn's draw, right? Auburn was not going to be the one seed, obviously, but going into the final day of the regular season, Auburn could have been anywhere from 2 to 6. Like, there was some crazy things to be worked out, and we know the double bye. We know how crucial that is, right? We know being the 5 or 6 seed. Look at it this way. Okay, look at it this way. What if Auburn was the 5 seed? Let's flip Auburn and South Carolina for a second. We're playing the what-if game, my favorite, right? What if Auburn is the 5 seed? All right, there's a good chance they'd have to play Arkansas in the second round on Thursday in their first game. I'm good. No thanks. I don't want to mess with Arkansas. I've told you all year long, they're one of the most talented teams in the SEC. They just can't win games, but that would be the time they'd figure it out, of course, is when Auburn would play them. Or put Auburn in the situation of the 6th seed, where Florida is right now, where you'd be playing either Missouri or Georgia. Auburn would probably win that one. And then your first game or your second game on Friday would be against Alabama in the quarters for their first game. Would you feel confident about that if you were an Auburn fan? Would you feel confident about Auburn playing their second game of the tournament on Friday against an Alabama squad who's fresh and ready to go? I don't know. I think Auburn would still be the better team. Doesn't mean they're going to win, though. So Auburn is in a good spot in terms of having the double bye. But what if they were the 3 seed and Alabama was the 4 seed? Then there's a good chance you'd play Florida on that Friday in the quarters, and we've seen that story before, and we know how that plays out. That Florida team would have a good chance to beat Auburn again, especially on neutral floor, because it's happened before. What if Auburn was the 2 seed? You'd have to play Ole Miss or Texas A&M, and I don't want to play Buzz Williams. I'm good. He's got Bruce's number. We know that. So overall, I really do think Auburn got the best draw. And I'm not saying that because we're Auburn folks. I just, like I said, I've tried to put Auburn in all those other positions and all those other seed lines, and it seems to favor Auburn pretty well. And for me, personally, I'm really excited about the opportunity for Auburn to get Tennessee again. Because I think Auburn can beat that Tennessee team. Without 39 points from Dalton Knecht, Auburn wins that game in Knoxville. And I think Auburn wants that chance. Bruce definitely wants that shot again. We know how he feels. We know all the drama there, the history, right? We know all that. The tensions and the stakes are always just a little bit higher when Auburn and Tennessee meet up on the basketball floor. Now, Auburn's going to have to get through either Arkansas or South Carolina, and that's not going to be an easy task. Auburn cannot look ahead on Friday, whoever they play. I don't care. I don't care if it's Vanderbilt. Don't look ahead. Don't look past them. Don't look to Tennessee, because you have to take care of business on that Friday. But overall, Auburn cannot complain. Now, in terms of the NCAA tournament, I don't know. We talked about that yesterday with the quad one record being pretty poor for Auburn, 1-7. And I've told you that you don't want to be going into conference tournament week needing and looking for improvement on your NCAA tournament seed line or your bid, right? You don't want that. That's not where you want to be. And so I think Auburn just has to play their game go for a championship like Bruce Pearl always preaches, and just see where you fall. See where you fall on Selection Sunday, which we're counting down the days, right? Just see where you go and play the teams in front of you. That's all you can do. That's all you can do at this point if you're Auburn. And the latest bracketology, and yes, you do have to take these with a little bit of, you know, a hesitancy because they're not everything. But Auburn right now, according to Lenardi, is still a 4 seed. And unless they win the SEC championship, I don't see them moving up anymore. Even with a win over Tennessee, I don't think they'd move up. I don't agree with that by any means. I think Auburn's good enough, you can make the argument to be a 2 seed. But they're not going to get that high. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. Right now, they've got them in the Purdue region, playing Charleston in the first round. They play the winner of Richmond and Nevada after that. And they'd play Purdue in the Sweet 16. I don't hate that. I don't hate that at all. The other teams in there, Iowa State, Marquette, Florida. That's about the most favorable portion of the bracket there is. But again, Auburn just has to play their ball. As long as everybody stays healthy this week, I think that's a huge part of this, right? And I mean, every team says that this time of year. But stay healthy. If you win it, you win it. If you don't, oh well. Because Auburn's not fighting for that automatic bid. Auburn isn't playing to get their way into the NCAA tournament. You don't want to be where Texas A&M is right now. You don't want to be where Mississippi State is right now. Because it's out of their hands. Even if they win these games, it's still out of their hands. And that's a scary spot to be in, man. But I'm curious on how you feel, the fan. How do you feel about this SEC tournament? Gets going tomorrow. Gets going tomorrow with some really, really good action throughout the week. Again, Vanderbilt, Arkansas plays in the very first game tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock. And then Missouri and Georgia will play after that. Thursday is going to be so much fun. Who's the first team to get the upset? Who's the first team? By upset, I'm just saying a lower seed over a higher seed. That's all I'm saying. Right? I think you could see Mississippi State beat LSU. I think you could. How about, wouldn't this be crazy if Missouri got their first SEC win of the year against the Georgia team in the first round of the SEC tournament? Wouldn't that be something? It'd be weird, but I wouldn't put it past. I mean, wouldn't that just be college basketball this year? I think so. But I'm curious on, I'm trying to look and make my prediction on who I think could be the first upset or maybe even the biggest upset in the SEC tournament. You've got to, I said this when Arkansas played Alabama Saturday. Why not take the Hogs? Why not? They were 16-point underdogs, and they should have won. They should have won the stupid game, and they just blew it. So why not take Arkansas to beat South Carolina? I think it's very possible. I think it's very possible. I think you could see Arkansas make a little bit of a run. I don't think you could see Mississippi State or LSU beating Tennessee. I don't see that happening. So that's going to be my pick because I don't see either Ole Miss or Texas A&M beating Kentucky. Do we think it goes chalk? Do we think that the top four teams all win on Friday and move on to the semifinals? Or does somebody squeak through? It seems like there's always one. Texas A&M, Florida does it sometimes. We've seen LSU make runs. Shoot, Auburn's been that team for many years. They'd sneak through and make it to the weekend. It's like a golf tournament, right? You're just trying to make it to the weekend. And I think that's where expectations are for this Auburn team right now, too, is don't go one and done. Don't go one and done in Nashville. Auburn fans are tired of that, man. They're tired of seeing that. They're tired of all the momentum being killed when they get to Nashville to the SEC tournament. And I have a feeling that later on in the show, Daryl Dappert is going to feel the same way. Because that is a killer. You're playing so good, so well, and then you get to Nashville, you hype up the week, you get to Friday, and you lay an egg? How do you pick yourself back up after that? It's tough to do, man. It's really tough. So, Auburn, they'll play Friday. We'll continue talking about this, covering it into tomorrow. But let's flip to football when we come back, huh? Spring practice back in action today. What do you want to see out of the spring? What do you want to hear out of the spring? Great conversation coming up. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. We'll talk Auburn football spring practice when we come back.
Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz with you inside the studio. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. We've been talking a lot of basketball. Want to get to the football side of things because spring practice is back. Auburn football and Hugh Freeze, new coordinators, new players, new look. Man, there's a lot of new faces over there. They get going again today in the Auburn football complex over there. So if you remember, they've already started, right? They already had a week of practice. And then they took spring break, and now they're coming back. And we had a short conversation about this, and one of my callers, one of you called, I apologize, can't remember which one it was, but we were having a, maybe it was Terry, but having a conversation about, you know, why would Auburn do that, right? Why would you start a week of practice, then take a week off for spring break, and then come back? And it's very different. I don't know. It seems a little odd to me, and I think a lot of you feel the same way. But the only reason I could come up with was that maybe this was a test. Maybe this was a chance for the players to prove themselves on who really wants to be here, who wants to work, who wants to grind it out and make the sacrifices that it takes to be a Division I SEC level football player. That very well may be it, or it very well may not be. I don't know. I'm not in the coaching staff. I don't know. I'm just making a guess. But it would make sense, right? It would make sense based off of what we've seen and heard from Hugh Freeze, where they released a video and said, hey, and it's him talking to the team, how many of you are going to hang back and do the things that you need to do? How many of you are going to go off to the beach for spring break or go and do whatever and take the week off and go relax while others are back here working, while others around different programs in the SEC and around the country are also working their tails off too? I don't know. That's a risky thing to do. That's risky business right there. But maybe that's what they're trying to do. Good thing is, we've heard early on from Hugh Freeze himself that this team has already done it differently than last year's team, in a good way. Says they're more accountable. Their areas are clean, right? Their lockers and their bags and everything like that. They're already doing the little things, accountability. All those things that he said last year's team just didn't really have. So that's what I look for, and not that we get to see those things as the media with viewing windows, but that's what you want to hear. You want to hear that from the head coach. You want to hear that from the coordinators when they have media availability. You want to hear that from other players, too, that they are holding each other accountable and they are making each other better. Those are the things that make a good team, that make a good program. And that's what I want to hear a lot of over the next few weeks for spring. In terms of what we want to see in player development, player performance, getting better, right? What do you want to see? Who are players that you want to hear about, positions that you're curious on going into the spring and once we get through A-Day? 334-321-1390 can get your thoughts here on the show. Obviously, people are looking at quarterback, right? People are looking at Peyton Thorne, who, according to Hugh Freeze, it's his job to lose, but there's a lot of young guys there that are going to put some pressure on him. And Hank Brown, in the first couple of days, seemed to play really well. He obviously left a pretty good showing on the field in the bowl game way back when, which seems like forever ago, just a few months ago. It's crazy it's been so long already. But he left a good showing on the field for that. You've got the new guys. You've got the young guys. There's a lot of them in there. There's talent in that quarterback room. And there's also talent at receiver that they can throw to. And that was the biggest takeaway from the first week of spring practice was Cam Coleman. He didn't even do anything. He just walked in and people flipped out. They were like, what in the world is this? We've never seen a guy like this on campus at the receiver spot. And that's a pretty accurate take. He had that impact without even catching a ball. Just running through drills, running through warm-ups. Imagine what happens when they actually do start throwing in the ball. Imagine the first video when it comes out of him going up and just mossing a guy. Or one hand snag in the back of the end zone. You know what's coming. You know it is. Auburn fans are going to lose their minds, and rightfully so. You absolutely should. You should be excited about that. That's a big thing to be excited about. But he's not the only one. Right? I'm curious, me personally, about the returning guys. We know there's going to be excitement from Cam Coleman this spring. We know there's going to be excitement from Perry Thompson when he gets here. Right? We know the young guys are going to come in and make their mark. But how about the guys coming back? I look at a guy like Caleb Burton. What about Caleb Burton, the Ohio State transfer? Remember when he came in and we were all excited because you have an Ohio State wide receiver transferring to Auburn, where Ohio State has borderline been wide receiver U for the last 10 years? And we're like, man, what better school could you get a receiver transfer from than the Buckeyes, right? From the Buckeye State of Ohio State. And he was a little quiet when he got here, didn't make a huge impact. But how much of that was him? How much of that was the game planning? How much of that was the coaching and play calling and all of that quarterback play? I think he takes a big step up this year. And I'm not going to say that's a bold prediction by any means, because the guy's uber talented. Just look at him. He's smart, talented, quick. He's got great hands. So it's not a bold, hot take that I'm saying Caleb Burton's going to take a step up. But I think he can be a guy, maybe a go-to guy that I thought Javarius Johnson was going to be at one time, that I thought other guys could be, a Camden Brown, for example. Right? We really thought those guys could have been it for Auburn last year, and they just weren't. But I think Caleb Burton can be that. He can be that rusted diamond, if you will, who if you polish it off, it's real pretty, but you don't know it until you do it. Right? He's kind of hiding in there with all the other big superstars who he's not going to get every big catch. He's not going to make every big play. But what if Caleb Burton steps up and becomes that guy? It's 3rd and 6. I need a first down. I can't hand the ball off. We got to throw it. And boom, there he is on a crossing route or an out route. Or just beats his man one-on-one. Breaks the zone, right? What if he could be that guy? Throw it on a screen and just get the yards by himself with the yards after catch. I think Caleb Burton can be that guy. But you do have some returners, like I said, Camden Brown, Jay Fair, right? Those types of guys that are still here. Not to mention all the transfers. You have Sam Jackson coming from Cal, which that's a really interesting situation. But I don't know. I just think Caleb Burton could be the guy to take the receiving group over the top. You have the running back group, who you're bringing everybody back, which is fantastic. And I don't know how much you're going to see in the spring with those guys, because I don't know how much more they can develop right now. But what the beautiful thing is, what the fun thing is you have a new running backs coach. You've got a new guy in there. And I think Nix is going to change it up a little bit. And maybe he can develop the running backs a little bit better, because I loved Cadillac. We all did. Everybody loved Cadillac Williams. But how much developing was really happening when he was coaching the running backs? I think there's a debate to be had there. I think there's a full conversation to be had there. We won't get into that today. But Darren Nix is going to be a impactful guy leading the running back room. And a lot of people talk about Auburn getting that 1,000-yard rusher. Some people subscribe to that line of thinking. Some people don't. But I think Auburn's room's too deep for that, and that's a good problem to have. Auburn doesn't have just one go-to back. They've got like four. I just want to see them take that step up. I want to see them make that improvement and be the strength of the offense. Let's get back to playing Auburn-style football. Let's get back to being what Auburn does so well, which is be a run-first offense. And maybe that's what Hugh Freeze does. Maybe that's what he doesn't do, because he's going to be calling plays, so that should excite you. But when it comes to the running backs this spring, I just don't know how much more information we're going to get. You see what I'm saying here? Because these are their practices. These aren't live reps. They're not live games. Spring's about development. Spring is about, hey, you ran that route the wrong way. You're not running it, and you're not planting your foot at the right time. You're not breaking at the right time. You're not doing the things to get open. Let me show you how. Spring is about, hey, this gap in the offensive line is only this big. We need it to be this big. Here's how we do that. Hey, you saw that hole, but you went left. Trust your blocker. Follow him. The hole may not have been there, but it's going to open up. Let's try it this way, right? That's what the spring is about. And I've told you this already. When we get to the spring game, folks in the business are going to try and hype it up. They're going to try and get you super, super excited and set some stupid expectations for A-Day. But all in all, it is a glorified practice. It's a somewhat scrimmage where the coaches change it up during the game and you're not going to learn a ton. But spring practice is exciting because you get to see some guys coming back and you get to see some new faces. And really, I know this is crazy, but I think spring is more about what we're told than what we see. Because even as the media, we get viewing windows, but it's not much. And we're not seeing live plays and live action content. We're seeing stretching and drills and things like that. Footwork. That's a lot of people like to look at footwork all the time and your hands and all that. And that's important stuff. And how that develops through the next few weeks is very crucial. But you do the things in spring that you don't have time to do in the fall. The development work. Making guys better. Teaching. Training. Having these guys learn, especially the young guys, hey, you may have done it this way in high school and you may have walked into practice and kind of done your own thing because you were the man, but that's not going to fly here. We're going to do it this way because this is D1 big boy football. That's what spring is about. It's not about deciding position battles. It's not about deciding who's wide receiver one or who your quarterback is or what your go-to favorite goal line play is. That's not what spring is. It's, hey, we got a lot of new guys. We have a lot of new coaches, coordinators on both sides of the ball. Let's get comfortable. Let's learn. Let's figure each other out. Let's all grow together. And I think what's important, too, this spring is something that Hugh Freeze talked about back in the fall, is how he wants his teams to be meshed together. He wants his teams to bond and to grow and vibe and actually like each other. Be friends. Hang out outside of practice. Hang out outside of the film room. Get together and play video games on a Tuesday night or go out to eat. Do things like that. That's what these spring weeks are about, is, hey, man, I don't really know you. Let's mesh a little bit. Hey, you could be my quarterback this fall. Maybe I should know you a little bit. Maybe I should know your tendencies. All those things get overlooked. Those aren't the sexy conversations. Those aren't the fun things to talk about on radio. But I think that's what it's about. I think it's about development on the field and off the field. And I believe that Hugh Freeze believes that his team growing and liking each other and having a bond more than a text message, I think he really believes that's going to work. And I do too, because I think it's a lost art. Look around. Look at our world today, man. Nobody can talk to each other. Nobody cares about each other because we're so locked into technology that we don't think it matters. And it may not matter in a 9-to-5 cubicle office setting, but I promise you it still matters in sports. And I feel like Auburn hasn't had that in a long time with coaching changes and controversy and off-field issues with players and coaches and fans. Like, I just feel like all those things haven't been here for so long. For somebody that's covered and been a fan of this team my entire life, There have been some really strong teams. Strong teams in Auburn football, Auburn basketball. Think about it. You're picturing teams in your brain right now. You're thinking of those teams like, man, that was a good team. That was a fun team to watch. 2004, 2013. And yes, success comes with that, but it's because they did all the things on the back end. 2019 basketball. How about the baseball team that went out to Corvallis and took 2 of 3? Like, those teams that loved playing with each other, that developed those things in the offseason, are typically more successful. Especially for an Auburn team that, yes, their talent is better right now, but it's still not where it needs to be. That's what springs about to me. I don't care that, oh, this guy, he had a better day today. This receiver 3, man, he really had a great day yesterday. He may be it. We don't know. It's March. It's March 12th, man. We don't know what this guy is going to be in August or September or October. It's impossible to determine that. You want to see growth. You want to see development. And you want to hear that the team is doing the right things and going in the right direction. And I think so far that's what we've heard. Let's get to our final break here in hour number one. Your thoughts on all of this, 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We've been talking spring ball and with A-Day games and spring games, I should say. Got a tweet from Jeff, who is a very loyal listener, tweeted and said, and I'm going to read it as he said it to me. He said, how about ESPN showing its ESPN favoritism to Bama again? Not only are they not showing the Auburn A-Day, Alabama is the only SEC spring game that will be shown, according to reports, and got some confirmation during the break about that. Not surprising. I mean, I'm not surprised, and not to talk bad about ESPN or any other media outlet, but it doesn't shock me that Alabama's one of the only, it's going to be one of the only spring games to be played on television, but it's the only SEC, according to some folks, and I think that is correct. Think about it, though. It's a new era of Alabama football. It's a new head coach, and the eyeballs are going to be there more than a majority of spring games anyway, because let's be honest, okay? Look, I tell you like it is, right? That's what I do. It's our motto, and that's what I do. Spring games are just not all that great. Like, there's not anything special about a spring game. It's a glorified practice, scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. And 99 times out of 100, it's not quality television. It's not quality radio either, because it's not a real game. You have guys running different plays and different sets. Half the time they're not tackling. The quarterback's obviously not getting tackled. They have the non-contact jerseys on for obvious reasons. And then by the time the second half rolls around, they're just running random plays and drills to get guys reps in game, to have them feel the in-stadium presence and the in-stadium feel of a game. And I get it. And I think it's a good thing. There are community benefits, right? There are fan benefits. There are monetary benefits. All of those things can be true. But when you really break it down, spring games are not good television. They're not good entertainment for somebody sitting at home on a Saturday scrolling through the TV. Most people aren't going to scroll, oh, the Auburn spring game is on. The South Carolina spring game is on. Like, let's put that on TV and get excited. Like, that's just not a thing. How many times do you do that? You know how many other spring games I watch around the SEC? Zero. I don't watch any of them because you just can't take a whole lot out of it. We watch Auburn and cover Auburn and take notes from Auburn because that's what we care about. But to be honest, I don't care about the Alabama spring game. Just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't get me going, I guess. Just not anything I care about. So, I don't know. It's not surprising. I think there will be people, though, for one of the very few times, if they do see it or they do hear about it, it's like, oh, Kalen DeBoer's first game, right? Not really. It's the first time it'll be a different head coach on the field. I was going to say on the sidelines, but most of the time they're not even on the sidelines. They're standing on the field back behind the play to kind of watch everything and guide and teach and that type of thing. So sure, people will, they'll tune in for that for about 5 minutes. They'll say, oh, wow, Nick Saban's not there. How crazy. And then they'll turn it off. That's what I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to turn it on, and I'm going to say, yep, he's really gone, and then I'm going to keep moving. So I get it. It is what it is. Auburn will have it. They'll have the radio call with Andy Burchman. And I think the radio can be even better, especially the local radio, because they can talk about like individual players and nuggets and information and facts more than anybody else can, which is why Andy and those guys do such a good job. And that's just a fact. That's any local radio broadcast on a spring game. That's going to be the way to listen to it or take it in, because they're going to have a whole lot more information than anybody else will and be able to break it down better. And that's just my two cents on it. So it is what it is. Good thing is, Auburn's spring game is not on Masters weekend. So that's a promise. Alabama's is, I believe. So there you go. You're competing with the best golf event of the year. I'll be tuning into one over the other. Coming up in hour number two, Double D, Daryl Dapperich will join us for 30 minutes. But come on in, be a part of it. 334-321-1390.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on a sunny, beautiful day on the plains. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, as we get underway in hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour, you know where to find it at this point. Go to ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. We talked a lot of basketball in hour number one. Also, getting you back in the mood of college football, as you have spring practice getting back underway for Auburn today. They had their first week, then they took a break, and now they're back for the rest of spring practice. So that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast. We're about to get to the phone lines, and then coming up for 30 minutes, we'll have Double D, Daryl Dapperich. We'll talk football, basketball, and baseball. Yes, very excited to have Double D with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Until then, you can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. We start hour number two with Terry. You're on the line.
Hey, Jacob, how's it going?
It's going good, man. What's up?
That was me you were talking about to have that conversation. I do not like taking a break during spring practice. That just that reeks of a disaster to me. But you're right, it could be a test.
Yeah, I thought it was you. I couldn't fully remember, but I thought it was. And, it is kind of weird. Most teams and programs don't do it. But, I mean, there's got to be some reason. They wouldn't have just done it. Whatever. We'll just start now. Who cares, right? There had to be a reason behind it.
Yeah, there's a reason. And who's going to – I'm not going to question Hugh Freeze. Jacob, what you were saying about the teams, I heard Tommy Tuberville say on a number of occasions one of the successes to that 04 team was how well they got along off the field.
I think it's a huge factor. And again, I do – Freeze has preached this, and I believe it. I think it is a lost art. I think it's something that just isn't done nowadays where – and look, football's so much harder because there's so many guys, right? And it's impossible for everybody to like everybody on a big football team. That's just reality. Right, it's easier for a soccer team or a basketball team that's got less players for everybody to get along, and you can make an argument that that's even more important on a smaller team. But your core players on a football squad, they have to like each other, because if something goes wrong, you're more willing to pick that guy up and make it better rather than say, oh yeah, typical Tom, what an idiot, right? You're more willing to help your team out and be more forgiving and want to be better for people that you want to be around.
Yeah, especially a team with a bunch of first-round draft picks, you would think egos would get in the way a little bit.
Yeah, you would think. And, I think that's also a difference too, Terry. and what separates college athletics versus professional athletics.
Absolutely.
Because you hear it and see it all the time. I mean, some teams and guys are fans and friends, sure, but man, an NBA team, those guys aren't best friends and hanging out on the weekends and hanging out on their off night. They're off doing their own thing, spending their own money with their families, and rightfully so, but sure, that's what separates, I think, college and professional, too, is the passion behind it as well.
And people forget it. In 13, the 13 football team, Jacob, that team was 2-10 the year before that.
Yep.
So, and the basketball team in 19, I don't think this gets looked at nearly enough. The road they took to get to the Final Four. I mean, they beat up on some of the bluest bloods of all.
North
Carolina and to Kentucky.
All they needed was Duke to complete the Fab Five.
And their closest game was the first game, and that was who, New Mexico State or something like that?
Just New Mexico, but yeah. That was a game where Auburn gave them – they fouled them and then gave them an open three – or well, they fouled them and then gave them an open three on the inbound in the corner. Heck, dude was wide open, Terry. Could have ended the Final Four run right then and there. He just missed the shot.
I just think that gets overlooked way too many. Now, I know the Final Four is a great accomplishment. I don't deny that. I'm proud of it. But that road to get there, when I saw that, and when I filled out my bracket, which usually goes in the garbage after the first weekend,
mm-hmm,
anyway, I thought there is no chance. Then you look at easier roads, and they don't get there.
Yeah, and that year, too, it's funny because Auburn went through all those blue bloods, but all of those blue bloods won in the game before to get to Auburn, right? It lined up perfectly for Auburn to have to play all those teams rather than getting any sort of break. I mean, they played the biggest brands in the sport, and they ran through all of them pretty seamlessly, except Kentucky, who they had to beat in overtime in Kansas City.
No, the one team I think is overrated this year is Kansas. I don't think Kansas is near as good as people think they are.
And they haven't been down the stretch.
Their reputation.
Yeah, they have not been down the stretch. They have struggled as of late, and that's why I don't believe in them a whole lot, Terry. I really don't.
I think they play it's okay conference. I don't know much about the Big 12, to be honest with you, but
Big 12 is pretty good.
Near as good as people think.
Yeah, well, they've got some serious talent, and of course, Bill Self is one of the better coaches, sure, in the history of the game. But yeah, as of late, they have just not been playing well, man. I don't really know. And look, the Big 12 is the best conference of college basketball. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll trust what you say then. But we'll see when the brackets come out. That's when you can make the real judgment. That's when I look forward to Sunday because I can put mine in the trash can then.
Yeah, that's right. Fill it out Sunday and throw it away on Thursday afternoon about 2:00.
Right. Take care, Jacob.
Yep, thanks so much, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Let's continue on with getting to the phone lines. Mark, you're on the line, man. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
I'm the same way with the brackets. Before the first weekend, I'm usually done. You can stick a fork in me.
Oh, and this year is going to be worse than it's ever been, Mark. I promise. My prediction is there will not be a perfect bracket by the time the night game tips off at 8 o'clock.
Probably correct. Hey, you were, I believe Terry was just talking about, some of the hard teams, and I know you won't remember this, but the schedule that the 1983 Auburn team played,
mm-hmm,
that was just absolute brutal. I think they played like 5 top 10 teams that year. The only one they got beat by was Texas.
Yeah.
So that was one year that I think was just, that was the one year I think Auburn really got ripped off, other than the double dribble.
Well, it takes a well-bonded team to go through a schedule like that, Mark, when you have to play the best of the best and you're getting punched in the mouth week after week. I mean, it takes a team that is well-oriented and a team that's together to say, look, we're playing in these games, we're fighting in these games, and when you lose the close ones, like a team that's not together and doesn't like each other, they'll fall apart in a heartbeat.
In a minute, they'll give up on each other quick.
Yep.
And that was, that was Pat Dye's second year after he ran off. Well, third year, I think, after he ran off all the people that didn't want to do it his way, which is not an easy way, but it was the right way.
And that's a tough thing to do. That's a real – and today, it's tougher now than it ever has been. I think it's – you'd probably agree. It was probably easier in the 80s than it is in 2024.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. NIL, well, don't even get me started on that. But that was just a dream. So anyway, that's all I had. I just wanted to mention that team because I think they are the most undersung team that missed out, like I said, other than the double dribble chance, which was ridiculous in itself. But anyway, have a great afternoon.
Yep, you too, Mark. Appreciate it, man. Always great to hear from you and Terry as well. 334-321-1390. No, I was obviously not alive during that time, but that team was going through, I mean, one of the toughest schedules you'll see in college football. And when you have to do that, yeah, I mean, you feel like you get shafted a little bit. You feel like you get the short end of the stick, whether it be a hard schedule or, you know, an unfortunate injury or the path you have to take to a championship or a bad call, right? Every team goes through it. Every program goes through it. Just seems like Auburn gets that a lot more than others. In 2004, when the computers make the wrong decision and when you have, you know, balls that bounce your way sometimes and some that don't, like in 2013, right? Auburn was on the end of two of the greatest plays in the history of the sport, and then all of a sudden you're up by three touchdowns in the national championship game and you can't hold on, right? I mean, that there's situations like that all the time. And the most recent, yeah, was the Final Four in basketball, where you're rolling, you're beating all the best teams, you get just a horrible, horrendous injury, and yet you still make it to the Final Four. And the fact that there were so many missed calls in the end of that game, sure, I mean, it's extremely unfortunate. 4th and 31 is something we're going to have to live with for the rest of our lives too, right? So you're on both ends of it, but it all comes back to, do you have a team that can stick together during times like that? We're about to see it during basketball. When a team gets punched in the mouth this week in Nashville, and it very well could be Auburn, do they fight it out? Do they stick together? I think you've seen this team do that. Yeah, they've had some emotions, sure, but we haven't seen this team just completely lose their cool or just completely give up, fold, lay down and die, right? We haven't seen that this year with this team, but I promise you, you will see it somewhere. You're going to see it in a conference tournament game, or you're going to see it in the NCAA tournament, because that's just how it goes. Not every team is built the same. Not every team likes each other or cares about each other or has a coach that'll fight for them. And it's sad, but it's months like this where you find that out. The teams that win championships are not always the most talented. They're not always the most well-coached. They're the ones that play for each other and feed off of one another and pick each other up when they're down and get better because of it. That's how you get better every game. And getting better every game is how you win national championships. Let's take our first break here in hour number two. We got to get to the phones when we come back. Daryl Dapprich will be joining me for 30 minutes as he does every Tuesday. We'll have him join us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this.
On the Line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on ESPN 106.7, it is the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins and joined by the one and only Double D, Daryl Dapprich, back with us here on the airwaves. Daryl, great to hear from you, man. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and happy Tuesday.
I did. It was a fun weekend, fun sports weekend. Really enjoyed the basketball games and the SEC. Everything had kind of meaning, right? I mean, it was like one of those things that had some kind of value to it. Auburn baseball at home, and it was just a fun weekend to watch sports.
Well, I want to start on the basketball side of things because we now have the regular season behind us, Daryl, which is just crazy to think about that we're already in the middle of March and the regular season is behind us. And we now have the SEC tournament schedule. We've got the bracket and we know what the path is for this Auburn team. Before we talk about the SEC tournament, though, put into words what the regular season was for this Auburn squad, if you could, Daryl. In your eyes, what you saw from non-conference play and conference play and everything that this team has been through, the big wins, the tough losses, everything, now that the regular season is over, put it into words for us.
You know, the one adjective that I would use to describe it, and Zach and I talked about this on the postgame Saturday, is chalk. I really feel like this Auburn basketball season did not have a lot of surprises, and it kind of went as according to, not as with the pundits, but people that were involved with the program and knew a lot about the program. I actually talked to Zach when we started doing our show early on, and we kind of gave our predictions, and I think Zach had Auburn with 23 wins, and I had Auburn with 24, and I felt like 14-4 or 13-5 in the conference. It just kind of went like it was supposed to. Auburn won the games that they were supposed to win. I don't feel like they lost any games they shouldn't have, except maybe at App State and maybe the Kentucky game at the time. Looking back on it now, not a bad loss. Kentucky's playing as good as anybody in the country. So it just kind of went, it just felt like this is where Auburn's season should map out. It went to chalk. You wanted to finish in the top four in the SEC. Auburn did. But the only thing I would say kind of did not go according to script, if you told me that all of Auburn's 24 wins were going to be double digit,
yes,
and no doubters, then I did not see that. I would have thought Auburn was going to have to win a few close games along the way. But other than that, it just seemed like they did what they were supposed to do, and they really, you know, came together. And so it just felt like chalk to me. It did not seem out of the ordinary as to how their season went.
Is it fair to say, it's something we've been talking about already early this week, but is it fair to say that this team didn't face a ton of adversity? I mean, I know the Jalen Williams injury, right, and they had to overcome that on the road at Georgia. But, yeah, in a year where everything went about as it was supposed to, I would throw in the road game at Mississippi State. I still don't think that's a game Auburn should lose
most
of the time, you know. But
yeah.
Even with that, I mean, you're going to have those here and there. But, yeah, I mean, is it fair to say that this team didn't go through a ton of adversity? No single-digit wins. Everything was just a blowout, and the few losses they had were pretty good losses?
The two things that could have been labeled as adversity for Auburn turned into be strengths. That's why they're scary going to the postseason, and I'll give you an example. Number one, the bench. Guys playing off the bench that felt like they should be starting anywhere else. The Trey Donaldsons, the Katie Johnsons, the maybe Dylan Cardwell, Chaney, guys that did not feel, probably felt like deep down inside, I should be starting, didn't pout, didn't sulk, bought in, and something that could have been an adversity got switched to a strength. And the chemistry that this team exhibited and how they play for each other and how they knew their role has now become a major force for this basketball team going into the NCAA tournament. Because it would amaze me if we could go find a team that's going to face Auburn with its depth and can go 10 deep and feel comfortable going 10 deep and not have to shorten the bench. So, you know, think about that. If you throw a Jedi Broom at somebody for 28 minutes, when he comes off the floor and they feel like, whew, I got a breather, and then Cardwell comes at you for 10, 12, 13, just pounding on your head.
Yep.
It's a huge advantage. So that's the first thing that could have been adversarial that turned out to be a strength. And the second is the Jalen Williams thing. We talked about that at the time that it happened, and this could go one of two ways. This could take the soul of this team and it could put them, you know, really make them a little bit lifeless and really hurt at the core, or other people could step up and say, okay, this is an opportunity. I've got to score more. And then when Jalen Williams comes back, now you're that much better. Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, and Chaney Johnson all stepped up in the absence of just one or two games of Jalen Williams. And when he came back, they sustained that level of play. That was something that got flipped from adversity to a strength as well. And that's why I think this team is definitely built for postseason.
Auburn finishes the regular season 24-7 overall, 13-5 in conference play, and they are the 4 seed in the upcoming SEC tournament. They will play on Friday, so they do get the double bye. Darryl, we've talked about in the past, I mean, if you don't have to play Wednesday, obviously, but even that Thursday game that the 6th and 5 seeds have to play, that's an extra game if you're trying to make a run. 4 games in 4 days right before the NCAA tournament, that's a lot to ask.
It is, and even the other flip side of that is, you know, you're going to play somebody in that first round that just played the night before, and that matters.
Yeah.
So regardless of how many games you have to play, and now Auburn only has to play 3 games in 3 days instead of 4 games in 4 days, the very first game, which is so important to me for Auburn this year because of how they've been one and done the last few times, to kind of get over that hump and that stigma of we just SEC tournament, we go one and done. I think you got to build momentum. I think getting to the semis is very crucial for this basketball team and its confidence going into the NCAA tournament. You have an opportunity to come off 6 days rest, and we saw what happened the last time Auburn came off a long rest. They played one of their better games in the year. If you're playing somebody who just played the night before, and it matters. It matters. And so that helped, whether that's Arkansas, Vanderbilt, or South Carolina. And especially if that team that plays the night before on Thursday has to expend some energy to win that game and doesn't blow out the opponent. And, you know, I'm looking at like an Arkansas-South Carolina matchup potentially that is going to be, a battle.
Yeah.
It's going to be emotional. And I think that whoever comes out of that game and meets Auburn on Friday is going to be spent. Now, it's up to Auburn to take advantage of that and not be listless and lifeless like they've been the last couple first rounds of the SEC tournament. I think it's a big advantage, and it really helps you get to the semis, in my opinion.
And there's some people, Darryl, that would argue for a South Carolina or for a Florida, those 5 and 6 seeds, getting that extra game and then going into Friday if they get the win, maybe they are playing a little bit better because they've already had that extra game. And I think you could definitely say that against the teams that have played Auburn in the past couple of years at Nashville.
It depends on how you win that game.
Right.
I think I can't remember, but I don't think A&M and the Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler year, I don't think they were much tested in the game before Auburn. I could be wrong. I remember, I'm old, Jacob, so to remember stuff like this. But I know last year Arkansas was rolling, and I think that helped them. Arkansas got hot. Arkansas is one of those teams under Musselman that you always don't want to play in the postseason. They could finish 4th in the SEC, and they did. They finished 3rd and 4th. And then got to 2 Elite Eights. So they're just built for the postseason. I don't think this Arkansas team is as much, but they are playing good basketball or better basketball. They lost to Kentucky close. They lost to Alabama close. I think that they're dangerous, and I think that they could be a team that could beat South Carolina. If they do that, though, now they're playing Auburn, having played Wednesday and Thursday. You know, so it's, I get your argument, but it depends on how much energy you have to expend to get that W. And I don't think teams that Auburn faced in the first round had nail biters, overtime games that came down there late. Could be wrong. I don't recollect it that way. Don't remember it that way. But I think that matters. I think if South Carolina and Arkansas are in a dog fight, if Arkansas gets by Vanderbilt on Thursday, and either one of those two teams comes out on top in a really, really close emotional dogfight, I think that totally benefits Auburn, and even more if it's Arkansas having to play 3 games in 3 days. Remember, Auburn's depth is its greatest strength. That could matter. That could matter being fresher already, and then you throw in playing that many games.
Yeah, Auburn has to play either South Carolina, Arkansas, or Vanderbilt in that first game. And Darryl, Auburn is on the Tennessee side of things as the 4 seed. They will have to go through that Tennessee team to get to the SEC championship, but they do avoid the red-hot Kentucky Wildcats. And look, I think Auburn fans would love another shot at Tennessee because most fans feel if that game is played on neutral floor and Dalton Kinect doesn't go off for nearly 40 points, people think Auburn can win that game, and I'm with them.
I agree. The pundits have said it too, that, you know, Kinect's going to have to get some help, and you can't count on him. I mean, it took him scoring 40 to beat Auburn at home. Tennessee fans didn't want to hear that. They came at me. I'm speaking the truth. If Dalton Kinect scores he scored 40. If he scores his normal season average in the low 20s, which is still phenomenal, they get beat. if he scores 30, they probably get beat. So, how often can you count on him to drop 30 or 35? Now, if he drops 30 on you and Ziegler and Vescovi give you some, secondary scoring, and the other big forward, I can't recall his name, if they do, then yeah. I mean, then they can be more well-rounded. They're senior-laden. They're very experienced. But, again, I think this team goes with Dalton Knecht different with Kentucky. Kentucky's a bunch of freshmen that early on the year were finding their way, and they have found their way. And that's scary as crap. And they go 4, 5, 6. The only thing Kentucky doesn't have right now, in my opinion, is interior scoring. They are very, very guard and three-spot heavy, but they come at you in waves. I mean, Shepherd and the other guy that comes off the bench, they don't start, and they're, like, taking over games.
Yeah.
So they're big dudes, don't score a lot. But and Mitchell can, if Mitchell, who Auburn didn't face the first time, he's a double-double guy. But, man, it's just incredible what Shepherd's doing and the guards that Reeves and help me out, the left-handed guy.
Dillingham?
Dillingham. Yeah, I wanted to say Hollingshead. It's Dillingham. He's going off. Those guys right there are carrying Kentucky, and they're young. And, they're just, to me, that's a dangerous, dangerous matchup because Kentucky's strength is Auburn's weakness right now, and that is guard play, except Denver Jones is changing that narrative right now. But maybe from a point guard standpoint, Auburn's going to have to pick it up.
Yeah, you're right about that. Before we get to break, Darryl, as we get into this SEC tournament, you mentioned it earlier in the beginning of our phone call here. It's been a disappointing performance for this Auburn basketball program the last couple of years in the SEC tournament. You're already starting in the quarterfinals, so there's not a lot of games to be played. But what is an acceptable performance? You said getting to the semis is crucial for this team. But, I mean, what happens if they do lose in the quarters? What happens if South Carolina or Arkansas comes out and beats them in that quarterfinals? I mean, does the NCAA tournament success for this team truly rely on what happens in Nashville?
To a certain extent, I think it's very difficult to come out and go one and done for the third year in a row and hope that you can sustain any kind of momentum going to the NCAA tournament. You can, but history says Auburn plays better when they win a couple games in the SEC tournament. So even if they win that one and get to the semis, and if you run into a buzzsaw with someone in the semis, you're okay. But I think winning that one is imperative. You win two and get to the SEC championship game, then you're cooking with grease. And I think you're going to really see a different team going to the NCAA tournament. I think it's all about momentum. I think it's all about mindset. That's why I think Auburn getting to the semis, I think is very, very important for this basketball team.
Darryl Dappert's with us on ESPN 106.7. This is the Tuesday edition of On the Line. We'll have some baseball talk and spring football talk when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
Are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7 as we continue talking with Darryl Dappert, Double D with us as he is every single Tuesday. You can find him on Locked On Auburn a couple of days a week and in post-game shows as well. And Darryl, I know it's a hot topic, man. Tell the people what's coming up with Locked On Auburn with SEC tournament reaction shows plus spring practice, which we'll get into in just a minute.
Yeah, it's a crazy schedule. So listeners and viewers, please bear with us, but you're going to get a ton of content this week. First of all, Zach and I will be at practice today covering the open window, the media window, and then we're going to do a show. The show we record for Wednesday we'll do from the Football Performance Center right after practice. We'll go ahead and give our thoughts and our feelings about what we just witnessed, record that show Tuesday. It'll drop Wednesday morning. And then even though these SEC tournament games, some of them starting Friday, will be in the afternoon and I will be out of town, we will still be doing a live show as soon as the game's over with for reactions to what happens. Hopefully we're doing two of those. Hopefully we're three, actually. Hope we're doing one Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we'll be doing those live just as normal, even though it's back-to-back and it might be earlier in the afternoon. So tune in and look out for those.
That's at Locked On Auburn on YouTube, and then the audio is posted wherever you get your podcast. Just search Locked On Auburn. Let's talk about football, Daryl. Spring practice, they're a week into it. Then they had spring break. They're back at it again this week. And look, everybody wants to know about the receivers. Cam Coleman was the big talking point. The pictures and videos went viral of him a couple of weeks ago in week one and him just looking like a grown man on the football field. And I think fans are overly excited, not in a bad way by any means, but they're very, very pumped up about Cam Coleman and what he can bring to this football team.
Yeah, he's different. I mean, he's a guy that Auburn hasn't had on campus in a long time. He could be that true number one receiver. He's one of those kids that can make an immediate impact. That's one of the things when you recruit high five stars, high-rated five stars, you recruit them under the hope that you don't have to wait a year to see the immediate impact on the field. Guys like that can make an impact immediately, and I think that's what's going to happen with Cam Coleman. I think you're going to see a difference. I think you're going to see a difference in the receiving room and in the passing game with him. And I know that he's trying to refine some of his route running right now. That's what the spring's for. You get that figured out in the spring. You get that figured out at A-Day. And then when fall practice comes, man, he's already seasoned and has it under his belt. And now his physical traits just take over. So I think people are going to see a little sneak peek, a little window into what he can do in A-Day and be very, very excited. And, again, he's your guy that you recruited to be wide receiver one on the outside. Let him go. There's no reason to not just take the wrapper off. He needs to go get it.
And what excites me is the fact that he's already here, right? You have the Perry Thompsons of the world that'll be here over the summer because they're still finishing up high school, but Cam Coleman's here. Like, he is here, he's in practice, and the big topic is who's the quarterback going to be? Well, regardless of who it's going to be, if the QB1 is on campus right now, he's getting reps with Cam Coleman, with the other receivers, and that experience is so crucial, especially in those first few games of the football season coming up in August and September, Daryl. And so no matter who the quarterback's going to be, they're getting those early reps with a big-time receiver like Cam Coleman.
Very underrated point that you just made, because remember a lot of the portal receivers last year, the Zaire Shorters, the Nick Martiners, the Shane Hooks, a lot of these guys, Caleb Burton, I believe, they didn't come on campus until the fall. And Peyton Thorne himself didn't come on campus till the fall. So I say fall, but it was the summer, but you know what I mean.
Right.
And they weren't here for spring, let's put it that way. So guys like Bryce Kane, who also is turning some heads and doing some good things in spring, and Cam Coleman and Robert Lewis, the transfer from Georgia State, and Caleb Burton with another year under his belt, it will be night and day, in my opinion, with the transformation and the progress of these receivers having the opportunity. And don't sleep on Sam Jackson. I'm telling people, they had him outside in spring.
Okay.
He is the player that I'm so much looking forward to seeing, you know, as far as today and seeing him at practice. I think that most people thought he was going to be a slot guy. And they have him outside. Auburn has him outside. And you say, well, why with his size would he be outside? Well, he's got a lot of speed, and he's very smart, and he knows how to run routes because he was a former quarterback at Cal. And when you make that transition from quarterback to receiver, you know where you're supposed to be in route running. And so I think he's just a smart guy, high football IQ. I think the relationship with him and Peyton Thorne is going to match. He's a guy that I really feel like has come in a little underrated, that's going to make a difference in the fall at the receiver position.
I've said it before, and I cannot wait until Auburn gets in game 4 or 5, and they start getting into SEC play, maybe against Arkansas or something, and they throw it out on a screen to Taysom Hill, and it's a Taysom Hill-like play where he just rears back and launches it downfield, and he throws for a touchdown pass. It's going to happen, Daryl. You know it is. It's going to happen somewhere.
Well, he's going to be a guy, too, on jet sweeps to keep an eye on.
Yep. Yep.
Because he's very, very fast. He's very athletic, quick feet, good moves. And if you start throwing, because again, the jet sweep's behind the line of scrimmage. you throw, I mean, actually it's a forward lateral at that point, but you start throwing a backside screen to him or do something on a reverse to him, and let him use his speed, and they start overselling. Linebackers come up to get him on a reverse sweep, and then he just drops back and throws it to Lewis downfield or Kim. There's some things that Auburn can do with him that's going to be dangerous, and I'm here for it. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch him and what role he's going to be used at in this Auburn offense.
And the possibilities are endless because of Hugh Freeze being the play caller this year. He's designing it. Yes. He's calling it. He is the man on offense this year, something that Auburn fans were wanting last year, but they've got it this year as far as we know, according to him. And we'll see if that changes before fall comes around. I don't think it will, Daryl. I think if he wants this to go well, I think he needs to be the offensive guy. Talking about quarterbacks and throwing the ball around a little bit, that's what everybody wants to know, right? That's what everybody's got their eye on, is the quarterbacks that are here right now. And, Daryl, you've been watching and covering football for a long time, man. How much separation can there really be in the spring in a quarterback battle? Hugh Freeze told us there is a battle. There will be an analytics part of it to eliminate guys from this battle, and that it's Peyton Thorne's job to lose. But how much separation can you really have in the quarterback room during spring practice? I'm curious what you think on that.
I think you only have separation like that if you go into spring practice knowing who your guy is. If there's a true quarterback competition, you're not going to have much separation going into the fall. The fall will provide the separation. I just think, you know, when you know who your dude is in the spring, and you just get other guys reps, you have separation. When you have a quarterback competition, I can't imagine that 3 weeks of spring practice and an A-day game are going to really have you clear-cut separation. That's why I don't think a starter will be named out of the spring, and I don't look for a starter to be named until maybe 2 weeks before the season starts. I think that battle will be that close, and there will be that little separation between those guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, there's still the possibility of going and getting somebody out of the portal, if that's a thing, or maybe guys leaving through the portal. People have to remember that, too. It's a two-way street, Daryl. The portal giveth and it taketh as well.
If you go get a quarterback after spring, it's a guy, and it's a guy that started somewhere else and had success, then you've had no separation. Then all bets are off, and then it becomes a freaking three-way competition in the fall, which, you know, I don't know how much that benefits anybody unless it's somebody that comes in and really knows your system well. So, yeah, I think that script is yet to be written. And I think you're going to really have to see, if you see that rare separation in the spring and somebody balls out at A-Day and lights it up and really just goes off, then that's the only way. I think then you go get a quarterback for depth if somebody leaves. But other than that, I just don't think we're going to come out of the spring with a clear answer. I think that's not going to be determined till the fall.
Daryl Dappert's joining us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's with us every Tuesday for 30 minutes, and, man, we always have such a good time. Before we get to baseball quickly, Daryl, one other position that you're going to have your eye on as practice gets back going today and we get through the rest of spring practice. Another position you've got your eye on for Auburn.
Well, I really am intrigued about the linebacking position. I think that Eugene Asante and Austin Keys are your clear-cut favorites to start, okay? But I think that Dorian Mausi from Duke, who played a lot of football at Duke and is very, very smart, is a guy that's going to push. And then, you know, one of the most impressive recruiting rooms was, besides receiver, was linebacker.
Yeah.
Does Reddick get into the 2D? I think the intriguing thing to me to watch for linebackers, not who starts, but who gets in the 2D. And I think a Mausi and a Reddick, those guys can make an impact, and they can get into the 2D and really play and get on the field and contribute early for Auburn. And then your edge position is another one that's intriguing to me. Does Waller, Jamonte Waller, you know, does he come in opposite of Falk and McLeod? Does Phillips make an impact as a freshman? There's some intrigue there at the linebacker and the edge position that I think you're going to see some of these freshmen push the incumbents and really. And I look for McLeod to have a huge year. Mm-hmm. The kid was hurt last year, didn't come into his own until about halfway through. I think Jalen McLeod is going to be an all-SEC type performer this year.
Okay, okay. I like it, man. And look, it's awesome that we're getting to talk about spring football again, that it's finally here. You've got A-Day coming up in less than a month, and then you'll get into summer workouts. And look, the football season's going to be here before we know it. The spring portal window will be insane, whatever that looks like now with how that's been just going crazy. But excited about the football side of things, Darryl. Want to get to baseball because, man, what a wild weekend it was here on the Plains. Yeah. That Austin Peay team can play, can't they?
They can. I mean, we said it, right? They beat Mississippi State.
We knew it going in.
We knew it going in, and then you got to have the walk-off by Mainers Friday to beat them, and then Austin Peay comes and absolutely humiliates Auburn Saturday with the run production they put up. But it's how you respond. And winning that series against Austin Peay right now, people may laugh and snicker at that. You watch and see how big that becomes at the end of the year. And the biggest component of that is not only are dudes like Ike Irish and Bobby Pierce who you're expecting to play and Cooper McMurray, but the Fabians and the Weisses, those guys, the Christian Halls, the transfers came up huge this weekend. And I really, really am encouraged by that. I'm still a little bit skittish on the arms. I still want to see Gonzalez, who threw a bullpen and didn't pitch this week. I want to see him return to the form that he was 2 years ago. If he does, this team can go a long way. But I love the infusion of this transfer portal talent that is really – and they can hit the – Auburn can hit the long ball as good as anybody.
Yes.
I mean, they're no doubt – I mean, when they hit them, it's like tape measure stuff. And so they're a fun team to watch. I can't wait to see what happens in the SEC slate when that season starts. But don't underestimate this series win that Auburn got over the weekend, because that's a good team that went to Mississippi State, Starkville, and took 2 of 3 from the Bulldogs.
Well, it's crazy to me that non-conference schedule after tonight, because Auburn goes and plays Troy tonight. After that, it's over, right? You had Eastern Kentucky, you had UAB, they played the Jacks Baseball Classic where they put up a really good performance. You played Samford in the midweek, then you had that UConn team come in. You only had the one game against Air Force, and then, this season, this weekend series over Austin Peay, you're at Vanderbilt this weekend if you're Auburn baseball, and SEC play is upon us, man. I really can't believe it.
And that Troy game tonight, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Troy's a very, very good baseball team. And I have said for the last 3 or 4 years, the Sun Belt is like the added Power 5 baseball conf. I mean, that's how good they are. I mean, they've got, you had Coastal Carolina won the national title. You've got Troy. You've got some really good baseball teams in the Sun Belt. And they remind me – I'd put them ahead of the Big Ten right now in baseball. So, Troy's good, and it's going to be a battle. And I'm just glad to see them playing again. There was a couple years where there was a hiatus where they didn't play, and I'm glad to see them back playing again. It's a nice little series.
Well, you mentioned it's all about how you respond, and Auburn did get the walk-off winner on Friday, and then – in a game you lose 15-6, head coach Butch Thompson, I know you heard it and a lot of our listeners did as well, he said it was the worst game he's ever been a part of as the head coach on the Plains. That's some heavy comments from your head coach, and I know the response was good, but man, Saturday night in his comments, if you're an Auburn baseball player, you had to have heard that and felt it heavily.
Well, I'm a historian, so I'm going to make a parallel here with a military historic quote.
Here we go.
I think what they did is exactly what the Emperor of Japan said in 1942 after Pearl Harbor, when he said, "I'm afraid we've woken a sleeping giant." It was one of the most famous historical quotes, and they did. And I think that's what Austin Peay did Saturday by putting 15 on Auburn. They woke him up, and Auburn's bats were angry Sunday. And, man, you talk about an offensive output. They got their attention, and that's exactly how you want to respond.
Yeah, 24 runs in a seven inning run rule, 24-5. I would say that's a pretty good response, Darryl. I think that's okay. 24 runs in a college baseball game against a very vocal Austin Peay team. I think that was a lot of them waking Auburn up. Not only did they put 15 runs on, they let Auburn know about every single one of them, man. It's a confident Austin Peay bunch, but I mean, Auburn responded well.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them in a regional and do well in a regional Austin Peay. But yeah, you don't poke the bear. They did, and Auburn could have hung a 30-piece on them. If that game goes nine innings, it could have been 30. It would look like a football score, and so it did look like a football score already. And so yeah, that's a great bounce back, and now you've got Troy tonight. Troy's got some good arms. Troy's got some division, you know, he's got some talent that could play in the SEC. Be an intriguing matchup tonight. Really will be.
Troy and Auburn down in Madison playing at Toyota Field. And then Auburn, with the baseball team, will be joining the basketball team in Nashville. Auburn Tigers taking on Vanderbilt on the road in the SEC opener. And, of course, Auburn basketball in Nashville. And hopefully they're there as long as Auburn baseball is for the entire weekend for the SEC tournament. Double D, Daryl Dappert.
Let me just say this. Yeah. I would be remiss if I didn't say very looking forward to watching the women's team, Johnny Harris's team, finally in the NCAA tournament as well. Stay away from LSU or South Carolina because I don't want any Auburn basketball players' brothers jumping over the scores table. So there you go.
What a wild. I mean, what a crazy scene, man.
I'll tell you what, it was must-see TV.
It was.
I talked about it with Ben Taylor yesterday. People want to talk about basketball being elevated to a new level. Forget the UConn-Tennessee matchups with Pat Summitt and Gino Auriemma. But I would say this, their teams would have never acted that way.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, and I'm going to leave it at that. And I really appreciate Dawn Staley and her response as opposed to Kim Mulka's response. An LSU team that accused Auburn of playing dirty, give me a break. And so, it's intriguing. If you don't think that if South Carolina and LSU meet again in the NCAA tournament, that I'm not going to be there front and center watching that, I will be. I mean, that's the drawing power of rivalries and that kind of thing. And I know they say it's bad for the game, and it is, and it was embarrassing. But if LSU plays Iowa with what happened last year with all the trash talking and the classlessness that LSU showed, you know, towards Caitlin Clark, it's intriguing. Give them credit. It is intriguing, and it is fun to watch.
Well, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? And that's exactly what's happening with the women's game of college basketball. Whether it's pretty or not, people are tuning in and they're watching it. They're watching it for Caitlin Clark and her unbelievable play. And then, two teams that get in a brawl, basically, in the SEC Women's Championship game over the weekend. Unbelievable. Daryl, thank you so much for your time, man, as always. Have fun at practice today. Let everybody know one more time where they can find you.
Wednesdays and Fridays, Locked on Auburn. Monday mornings with Ben Taylor on WANI at 7:10 with you, 3:15 to 3:45. And then after, for this week anyway, and then the NCAA tournament, after every Auburn basketball game, we go live.
That is Daryl Dappert, Double D. He's with us every Tuesday here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break and wrap it up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. All right, that's it. Tuesday edition of On the Line is wrapped up. Went long with Double D, but that's okay. It happens sometimes. Double D and I had a great time. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow here on ESPN 106.7. We'll be talking more basketball. SEC tournament will begin. We'll talk about a couple of championship games coming up tonight and get into SEC tournament. Spring football, we'll see what see what happens over at spring practice this afternoon. So all that coming up tomorrow. Thanks so much. Tune in. Tiger Country 104.5. I'm going to hop on with Christian for Lee Scott Baseball against Glenwood for a doubleheader. I'm Jacob Goins. I'll be back 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7 tomorrow. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.